one of the good things and the bad things about intellectual disability is it can mask things, I guess. Sometimes one disability, like people might see, you know, David's intellectual disability, they may not see the autism, but, you know, I do have a little bit of depression. Yeah. Because, I mean there are lots of people with autism who may not even know they've got autism and things. I mean, there are lots of actors. I remember reading about Robin Williams. I know he's passed away now.
Right.
He played Mort from Morecambe and Mindy and other things and that, you know. And unless he had a sign on the top of his head, hey, I've got autism, I wouldn't know, you know. So,
right, yeah.
I guess just be yourself, you know. We're all our own people. We may be able to do the same things as other people, but, you know, just do things your own way and things, yeah. You know, live your own life, you know. The hardest thing with autism and intellectual disability and that is sometimes accepting it, you know, like once you know you've got it, you know, and accept it, you know, you get on with life a lot better, you know. There is nothing wrong with having autism, you know. Some of the best scientists, if you went on the web today, on the internet today, and looked up things, you'd probably see lots of things about different people or people that you wouldn't know who have autism, you know.
Approximately 1 in every 59 children are born with autism. Albert Einstein.
Dr. Einstein had no speech until age 3. Steve Jobs. He was a loner. He brought snakes to school.
Leonardo da Vinci. This man was far advanced on the autism spectrum.
I'm not naughty. I'm autistic. And I just get too much information.
You're listening to Takiwatanga, Love Not Cure, Exploring Autism One Strength at a Time.
Thank you for your time, David, and I appreciate that. I know you're busy today, but still find some time to have this korero or conversation with me about autism and about intellectual disability. Give us some insights about how you live as a human being. Right, so can you give us a high level, maybe a background about yourself?
Yep, now where would you like me to start? Yes, so I was born in 1963 in Lower Hutt in Wellington, and my family moved to Palmerston North probably about 1964 or 65, and I went to kindergarten and went to primary school briefly. I went to a school called Central Normal School in Palmerston North, and then we moved to Nelson in 1969, and I went to primary school and intermediate school and college. So I've got two older sisters and a father. My mother passed away 10 years ago.
All right. Tell me about your experience growing up in your area.
Well, it was quite good, you know, growing up in my area. I went to the same school as other people, but when I went to primary school for the first year in Nelson, I used to go to a special school for a while, and the teacher helped me to learn to read and write. So it was an IHC school.
And do you find it like an amazing experience for you in terms of reading and writing? And
Yes, I found that by, you know, going to the special school, and the headmaster was my next door neighbor, and she actually helped me to read and write to help me to get to where I am today, sort of thing.
You went to college, right? And did you went to uni? Did you go to uni?
No, didn't go to university, but I went to polytechnic. So I went to intermediate and college. And I was sort of bullied quite a bit when I was at primary school by different people. But at intermediate and college, I was in special classes. Or in other words, they'd almost be called segregated classes.
What do you mean by segregated classes?
So we were separate. We were separate from the other people. We didn't mix with the other people at school.
Did they have a special program for you, for kids?
Not so much a special. We used to read and write, probably did things different to the other people, not as hard and things.
When you say hard, did you find it so challenging doing those?
No. I didn't find it challenging. What I mean by we did different things to other people. Like we didn't do exams and things. Sometimes, I don't know whether you've ever heard the same, we almost went to school to eat our lunches sometimes. We didn't really learn that much. I think one year at school we didn't really learn that much. Like, When I was at intermediate for 1 year, we used to play games all the time. And
you will be able to understand the whole concept of social interactions with your peers at that time if you go to, or if you went to lunch with your peers?
Yeah. I think if we had social interaction, it might have helped us to understand other people, and they might have helped them to understand us and things. Yeah. Mm.
How is it like going to your school as an autistic person?
Well, it was sort of difficult because I didn't know I had autism, really. You know, I knew I had an intellectual disability. It wasn't until 2013 I actually discovered that I actually had autism.
So how did you discover that?
By my sister and myself. My sister and myself actually went to see a specialist in Wellington. Mm. You know, I always thought that I had some autistic features. It's just the way I do things and that. Yeah. So we actually had to pay private to go to see a specialist. And then he actually said, well, yes, I do have autism and things. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. You didn't go through the general practice or your GP just for
well,
that?
I did go through my GP and I got referred to some of the Capital Coast District Health Board in Porirua. Mm. You know, I met with a person, and I think I went with one of my colleagues from work, you know. Oh. And I think there was a scale of 1 to 5, you know, where do I fit on the autism spectrum? Mm. I said, I think I was about 3.5, and he said, well, there's no halves, you know.
Yeah.
He almost said, well, you know, you don't have autism, you know, this guy.
You
know.
When you say 3.5 or we don't have halves, are you talking about it's either you're on the autism spectrum or you're not?
Yeah. And so what I mean by house, you know, I think there were autism spectrum from 1 to 5 or something, the scale was,
right.
And he was almost saying, you know, where do you fit, you know, are you 1, 2, 3, or 4, or 5? Yeah. And I think I said it was about 3.5 or 4.5.
I had the same concept actually in my head running, like when I was trying to assess or look at my child who has autism as well.
Yeah.
And I am trying to gauge, like, because autism spectrum is such a wide spectrum,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to say, is he on a medium, mild, or high, very high scale? I don't know. The way we were told is that he has or classic autism. I don't know what that means, actually.
Yeah, no.
It's just, so I'm just thinking, that's autism. That's,
And the reason why I say that is, I don't know whether you've ever seen a picture, I think it is, you know, we've all got to do the same task. I think there was a picture, you know, a cartoon picture of an elephant and a monkey together, and there's a whole row of hoops up in the air or something, you know. The monkey can climb the tree, but the elephant can't, you know.
Yeah. Is that perhaps your definition of, like, different people thinking different ways? Like, you have a monkey and an elephant, right?
So it's almost like, it's almost the scale, you know, it's almost like saying, you know, the monkey and the elephant both have to do the two tasks, like both have to climb a tree, but, you know, it's almost like first monkey may have autism, climb the tree, the elephant may think he has autism, but someone might say, well, no, you haven't got autism because you can't climb the tree or something.
Is it something that, I don't know, maybe in your view, is autism something that is visible physically, or it's something that has something to do?
It is visible in people if you know how to look for it. I guess for some people, you know, with higher autism needs would probably be showing autism. Some people don't.
Mm.
It's almost the same with an intellectual disability. Sometimes, you know, I mean, I don't have a label on my head. I have an intellectual disability.
Mm.
If you know what I mean, like, for example, if someone has a physical disability, you can maybe be able to see how they walk, or if someone's blind or partially sighted, they might have a stick, or if someone has hearing problems, they may have a hearing aid or something.
Okay,
it's the same with mental health. You know, you can't always tell. You can sometimes tell if a person's really depressed, but, you know, sometimes
you can't as it depends. So what's the difference between intellectual disability in your perspective and autism?
Intellectual disability is the thing that I was born, so you have to have an intellectual disability be part of services and things.
I guess I was
classed as a slow learner, I think my intellectual disability is because of a lack of oxygen when I was born, you know, or even before I was born.
Did they say you had a lack of oxygen at that time?
Mm. Yeah, well, that's what I believe it was, yeah.
Yeah, and
when I was born, I don't know how old I was, but I was classed as having a lazy eye. And what I mean by that, my right eye wouldn't do as much work as my left eye. So I remember having a couple of eye operations when I was very young, and also remember having to wear a patch over my left eye sometimes. Mm. And in those days, a patch wasn't a proper eye patch, it was a big piece of elastoplast.
Mm.
And the reason that because was to make my right eye work, because I was often told, you know, that if my left eye failed or something, I could probably lose my sight or something.
Right, and but you did lose your sight, right?
No.
I mean, like, it fixed itself?
Well, I wouldn't say it's fits, but it's probably as good as it's ever going to be, you know, so, yeah.
Tell me about Inclusion International.
Inclusion International is a worldwide organization for people with intellectual disabilities and their families, and people with autism and their families. So, yeah, it's a global network.
Mm. Tell me about your experience in that. Traveled a lot, right?
Yes. I've traveled just about over most countries of the world. I think the only continent, there's only two continents I don't think I've been to.
Mm.
And one's Antarctica and the other's Africa.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was on Inclusion International for 12 years as a Asia Pacific self-advocacy representative.
Mm.
And the reason why I say self-advocacy, so I'm a self-advocate, you know, I advocate for myself and things.
Wow, that's amazing, because
yeah.
people will need to advocate for themselves, right?
Yeah.
And no one will advocate rather than the person.
I do get some help with people advocating sometimes, you know, and sometimes they have made some good decisions for me and sometimes they don't make some good decisions.
So you prefer much of making the decision.
Yeah. I realize sometimes people have to make decisions, but if they can consult with me, it's the best way, you know, like ask me, do I want to do these things?
And you live by yourself?
Yes, I currently live by myself in a flat, in a house that is owned by myself and my family, yes.
Going back to that Inclusion International journey,
yeah.
What countries have you been? I know you mentioned globally almost, but can you perhaps name what's probably your top three countries?
I've been to Nepal about 3 or 4 times, and I've been to Bangkok about 3 or 4 times, and I've been to London a few times.
Mm.
So I've been to Washington, I've been to Boston, wow. I've been to Berlin, I've been to Madrid, yeah. Mm.
How did you find the travel? I mean, being representing yourself?
I found the travel quite strenuous at times, but fortunately, you know, I when I was on Inclusion International, I had different support people who supported me. I had one person for about 6 years, and then she left to do other work, and I had different people in between. So I've had people, and I'm really grateful for one of the PAs that I actually, who actually made our travel less stressful and things.
What is the most memorable activity or work you've done for Inclusion International?
Actually working with other people with intellectual disability and things. And I remember going to a conference in Berlin, and I think I was supposed to be the third person to do the presentation. You know, we were debating who would go. Mm. And someone said, well, David, you can go first. And then, well, you know, I didn't really have much choice to say, I don't really want to go first. And I did, yeah.
Mm. And what's your experience? Are you nervous?
Wasn't nervous. I guess sometimes when doing presentations, I may be nervous afterwards. My knees might start shaking afterwards. I sometimes think, how did I go? But one of the hardest bits was because I like to use lots of sense of humour and things.
Mm.
And because it was translated into lots of different languages, I don't think they could understand the Kiwi sense of humour.
Even when I was new here and
there
are Kiwis that I met I never knew they were already telling jokes, and I'm like doing this poker face, like, what? Is that a joke? That's a joke, like, okay.
And I suppose, you know, in the Philippines and things, that people might tell a joke and New Zealanders might not understand.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, yeah. That's correct.
We've all got different ways of dealing with things. And for sometimes you've got to tell a person that they've got a joke and things.
Mm.
And I guess some of them actually apply to people with autism.
Yeah.
Like, I remember reading a book from the IHC library once and about autism. And it said you've almost got to explain to people sometimes that you were joking, as people with autism may take things seriously.
Yes.
And an example was, you know, watch out for mum. So in other words, if you're at home and mum's away and you've broken something or done something wrong, you know. You send someone to keep a lookout for mum, you know. Mum's coming at the, you know, mum's coming along, you know, so hopefully you can fix it up before mum comes home. Yeah. But sometimes if you tell a person with autism to keep a lookout for mum, they may, you know, if mum's just gone out to work at 8 o'clock and you tell a person 8 o'clock to watch out for mum, they may be standing at the whole gate till 5 o'clock till mum comes home. But other people might just say, oh, you know, only joking.
Yeah. So do you think that that's true? Like, if I will say a joke, you might find it like I'm serious about it?
Yes. Sometimes I may get things in my head and think maybe Lloyd's joking, but I might have to come up to you and say, you know, are you actually joking?
Yeah. Ah, right. And sometimes you're able to get the cue that it's a joke.
Yeah. Right. But sometimes I may talk to other people and someone might say, hey, David, did you realize that he was joking with you or something, you know, sometimes.
Okay. And then do you, like, if you found out that it's a joke, obviously you're able to laugh at it, right?
Yes.
Right. That's amazing.
One of the things I never knew for a long time about people with autism is they don't always look people in the eyes, like, remember, you know, being told, you know, from lots of people, look me in the eye, you know, and I used to find it hard to look people in the eyes, you know.
Yeah, why is that? I mean, I'm curious because my son also does that to me, and I want to see him, or I want to see how he sees the world.
It's just the way that people with autism are, you know. I don't know why. Everyone does different things, you know.
Yeah. In your journey, when you found out, or maybe during your younger years, what's the most challenging part of your journey as an autistic person or a person with intellectual?
I guess, you know, actually wanting to try and do the same things as other people. And knowing that I can't do something, like I can't drive a car and things. I did try many years ago, but I was able to ride a motorbike. I probably wasn't the safest on a motorbike. I think my mother was probably glad when I decided to get rid of motorbikes, but, you know,
Oh, you were able to drive motorbikes?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And you're driving?
Yeah. Yeah, so I was able to ride motorbikes but not drive cars because I probably don't have 100% hand and eye coordination.
Right. But you've tried. You've tried. I mean, like, you tested it. Like, maybe I can try, and if it's not...
Yeah. I did go and try and have a go at testing some of the in a car and, you know, decided it probably wasn't for me. But, yeah.
Mm. What else did you try when you're growing up?
I was able to ride a push bike and things, you know, and I went to Cubs and Scouts the same as other people and things. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Seems like you can do what other people can also do. What do you think are your superpowers as an autistic person?
I think it's actually, you know, having lots of knowledge in my head and things, you know, memory. And one of the things I guess I'm really good at, as someone once said, David Corner can say things in about 10 seconds. It may take us 10 minutes to sum up or something. So I guess I'm a person who often, I guess I'm a person who speaks first and then thinks afterwards. Maybe I shouldn't have said that sometimes, you know.
Do you regret things, like you've said?
Sometimes, yeah. But, you know, in the end it's said, so, you know, so, yeah. I often think, gee, you know, I often think I wish I could put things in a speech bubble, if you know what I mean. And so I could say things in a speech bubble, and if it's right, leave it. But if it's not, you could pop it, and so it disappears.
It's gone. Do you read books?
Yes, I do, yeah.
What books
quite like reading sports books and adventure books and things. And I used to have just about the whole collection of a series called Biggles books when I was little.
Tell me about that. Yeah, I don't know about that.
Okay, so Biggles was a fictional story about a person in the First and Second World Wars who flew a Soapworth Camel aeroplane, and after the wars he became a detective and flew all over the world and things, him and his mates. Yeah.
Does it have a different series, or is just one book?
Yeah. Oh, there's a different series. I think there's about 90 books in all or something.
That's a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, you have a collection of that.
I don't anymore. I used to have them, but when I moved from Dunedin to Wellington, I think I lived in a house that had borer. So what I mean by borer is stuff in the woodworks and things, and I think over time they come out of the woodwork and started nibbling away at the pages of the books.
Oh, yeah. And then you're looking at getting some copies of these books? Or
No, I'm not. I gave them all away and things, you know. Yeah. In this day and age, with the internet, if I want to read, I can probably download it.
Oh, yeah, right. And probably everything is in your head if your your memory is very good.
And lots of the books have actually changed over the years from what they originally were, because I think because of being politically correct. I think because Biggles used to hang out with about three other people.
Right.
And I think in this day and age, and it's almost the same with TV programs. When TV, I quite like watching some of the old classic British programs. And some of the words that were used in the programs back then wouldn't be allowed nowadays and things.
What do you think, would you advise for parents like me so that we can support our children?
I think it's really good to actually spend some time getting to know your children, and actually spending time getting to know other people with autism and things, and to look on the internet and things, you know, and to read books and things. Because I mean there are lots of people with autism who may not even know they've got autism and things. I mean, there are lots of actors, like, remember reading about Robin Williams. I know he's passed away now.
Right.
He played Mort from Morecambe and Mindy and other things and that, you know. And unless he had a sign on top of his head, hey, I've got autism, I wouldn't know, you know. So,
right. Yeah. If a person suspects that he or she suspects that they have autism, what's your advice?
Well, to maybe try and follow it up if you can, you know, like maybe trying and to go to a specialist and things, you know, and see.
Is there a cue, like, for you, what cue have you experienced in yourself when you feel like, oh, maybe I have autism or something?
Well, I haven't really noticed it myself, but, you know, other people do. I've got a fantastic memory, I guess, you know. I'm very good at sports quizzes and things and history, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
My grandma used to say, if anyone want to know anything, ask David, he knows. I mean, like, the example, the other week when I was up in Auckland, I was talking to my sister, you know, we're talking about dates and things, and she said her wedding day on such and such a year was on the 30th of the month, and I said, well, excuse me, it's actually the 29th of the month, and then she looked it up, well, you're right, you know, so, yeah.
So you can still remember a lot of things that happened when you're young?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Still remember.
And I'm quite focused on time sometimes. I may be bad myself with times, but if I go to a meeting, you know, I often ask, you know, what time is it going to be there? And someone might say 9 o'clock, and, you know, I will try and be there by 9, you know. I normally expect other people to be on time, but I'm not always.
Right. And even going to work, even going to gatherings and stuff like that, you're always on time.
I wouldn't say I'm always on time, but I try and be on time.
And then what advice do you think you can give to the community about autism and about maybe...
I think to actually take a look at themselves. I think everyone has got some form of autism in them, but they may not actually know what it is and things. By reading up on books and things, it might help people understand and learn why they act the way that they do, you know.
Do you think, in terms of neurodiversity, I heard this from someone who has autism as well, and she said that everyone is neurodiverse. Do you think that's true and correct?
Yes.
Yeah. In what sense?
Oh, just it is. I mean, we're all different diversities and things, you know.
All right.
And I guess another way, where I sometimes got autism, I do find it hard when interviewing or something to sit down and have my hands folded or something like that.
Yeah. I think that's normal. Sometimes I do this mannerism, like I also do that. So.
Yeah. Right. Well, you know, people might say, hey, you've got autism, you may do that. You know,
But sometimes, I mean, whenever I'm having conversation with my wife about my kids, and this is just us with me and my wife trying to figure it out, and sometimes we have these autistic behaviors which are sometimes we're steaming sometimes we just don't aware about, we're not aware about it because we're like having conversations come to think of, sometimes if you have a pen, you remember, you've seen some people like click pens, right?
Autistic behavior. Some people may class it as normal until someone points out, hey, that's autistic behavior.
How is your community and environment accepting you as an autistic person?
Well, they just accept me as a normal person, you know. I mean, there are probably lots of, you know, I mean, I'm honest and say I'm a person with intellectual disability and autism, you know.
Yeah.
I self-disclose, and that's what I mean. But, and the reason why I say that is if I go to a conference, you know, I say I'm a person with intellectual disability and autism, but the other speakers might just say their name, not disclose about who they are and things, you know.
Yeah.
But,
Do you think that's important, like disclosing that?
I think it helps people to relate to things, and it also helps people to get to know. And if they know afterwards, it helps when they go up. Hey, you know, it's really helpful for me as a person with intellectual disability and autism. I understand why you act that way and things. But yeah, but you know, I'm part of my local community. I really, you know, I work with other people with disability and non-disabled, and I also play outdoor bowls and things.
Mm.
I play outdoor bowls, which are lawn bowls, where, and another name for lawn bowls used to be called geriatric marbles, and the reason why that, because older people used to play bowls and things, but now there are lots of younger people, so, you know, I'm treated just the same as other people, you know, I play bowls, I, you know, got a volunteer friend in the community through IHC, who I meet up with coffee sometimes, but I'm also a volunteer for another person with intellectual disability, online volunteer. So, you know, I enjoy meeting up with people and things, yeah.
Wow.
And I've got a good history of movies and things, yeah.
Yeah. And it seems like you've accomplished a lot, sounds to me.
Yes, by having lots of different support from different people in different areas and things, And it's actually having the people to understand sometimes. If someone tries to show you something and it doesn't work, it's really good if someone says, hey, you know, let's try it another way, like, when I started playing indoor bowls, I'm left-handed, and I had a right-handed person try and teach me how to play bowls when he's different-handed, you know. And then someone else said, well, you know, hang on, I'll spend some time with David, you know.
Right. Yeah. And then do you remember having some frustrations in your life about things that you cannot do at some point?
Yeah, lots of frustrations all the time, I mean, yeah.
Yes. So how did you manage that?
Oh, yeah, just get through them, you know. Sometimes you've got to think about things, hey, you know, and then let things go and then learn. Yeah, I guess I get frustrated sometimes with my family sometimes. Like when I went away on holiday recently, my sister said I had to text her each day, to let her know I didn't have COVID and things. You know, I was away from home and things, you know. And the first morning she actually rung me up because I hadn't texted her on time. And she had said, you know, can you please text me by 10 o'clock and let you know I'm okay? You're okay, that's fine, you know. And she said, you know, if you send me a text, I'll respond. But, you know, I sent her a text one night and she didn't respond till the morning. And if I started panicking and send her lots of texts, why didn't you respond? Excuse me, this is my life. I'll respond when I want to, sort of thing.
Do you think they're just concerned about your safety?
Yeah. And I understand, you know, that my family and that, you know, they do things because they care and things. You know, everyone reacts in different ways sometimes.
I think you have an amazing family because they are concerned about you and they love you.
I'm very lucky, you know, because when I was young, I used to spend lots of time going to my grandparents in Auckland and things,
So how's your experience going to Auckland?
Good.
Is it far away? I mean, like, of course, from here, it's far away. But what I mean is, in terms of your travel, did you get upset about the...
No. I think when I was little, I used to travel up and spend time with my grandparents. You know, I used to enjoy traveling to Auckland to see my grandparents and my aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews.
Right. And then do you have any, what do you call that, any instances where you needed to regulate your emotions or regulate your personal or inner being?
There are lots of times when, you know, I do get worked up sometimes and have to calm down and things.
So what do you do? I'm just curious. What do you do with those times?
Oh, try and count to 10 if I can, you know, or go for a long walk or do something, you know, read a book or something, or just relax and things. And that's where I think playing outdoor bowls is really good, you know. We often laugh because when I play outdoor bowls, we have a beer after the game, but sometimes we often think, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we had a beer before the game? Then if we played bad bowls, we'd have a good excuse or something.
So you're drinking beer as well?
You know, I like the odd little bit of alcohol and things.
Do you have any allergies as part of your autism?
No, I don't.
That's good.
The only other condition which I have is probably a slight mental health condition.
What is that like? Is that the intellectual disability or
that's different? Almost related to my intellectual disability, because one of the bad things about, one of the good things and the bad things about intellectual disability is it can mask things, I guess, you know. Sometimes one disability, like people might see, you know, David's intellectual disability, they may not see the autism, but you know, I do have a little bit of depression. Many years ago when I lived in a place called Dunedin, I had a girlfriend and got engaged to her, and I didn't really understand about mental health. And she, I was trying to do everything to help her, because she was going through mental health problems with her neighbours, and I set the neighbours, and I think the police were called and things. I was trying to do everything to help her and not realise about my own health, you know. So sort of got run down and things. And someone said, "Well, you got depression." I said, "Well, I don't, you know, I didn't really understand depression. You know, I realise there are lots of people in depression in hospitals and things, you know. But just understanding, we all, you know, I think everyone has depression. I mean, if the All Blacks happen to lose to Australia tonight, well, you know, all the All Blacks for supporters have had depression tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. You have a point. So how are you coping up with your depression and stuff?
I'm coping really well. You know, I mean, I've got pills if I need them, and sometimes if I'm traveling overseas, I may take them, but yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's good. Any final message to any autistic individuals or autistic person that you wanted to say to them, like as an advice?
I guess just be yourself, you know. We're all our own people. We may be able to do the same things as other people, but you know, just do things your own way and things. You know, live your own life, you know. It's the hardest thing with autism and intellectual disability, and that is sometimes accepting it, you know, like once you know you got it, you know, and accept it, you know, you get on with life a lot better, you know. There is nothing wrong with having autism, you know. Some of the best scientists, if you went on the web today, on the internet today, and looked up things, you probably see lots of things about different people or people that you wouldn't know who have autism, you know. Just look, you know.
That's amazing. Do you fist bump? All right. Thank you for your time.
Appreciate your
time.
Every tangata fai takiwatanga is different. If you fail with one strategy, don't stop. Keep moving forward. Always remember that for every failure you encounter, it's one step closer to your success. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, Memuto te fakawa haere. Let's stop judging others. Memahi tahi tato. Let's all work together. Kia maya, kia kaha, be brave and be strong.